totally off topic, completely, but she taught me something. I never noticed it before. I thought about it. She says, tell me, she said, how many stones did David use to kill Goliath? Take to kill Goliath. And I said, I wasn't even talking about it. She said, I said, well, he took five. She said, how many did he bring back with him after he killed Goliath? And I thought for a minute, and I said, four. Oh, he said, sir. He said, not. He brought back five. He brought back his head, didn't he? And he had that stone in his head. And so I thought, you know, this little kid is, she's got something there. It's the truth. He never lost a thing. And then I was down visiting maybe a couple of years ago as well. We were in Iowa and stopped in to visit Jan Sluder. Go in there, sit down in her kitchen. It was when they lived in the house. And dear Jan, to those who know her, to me she is an encouragement every time I go. A lady that's stricken with Lou Gehrig's disease, and she has risen above it. And she is, every time I go, I'm refreshed. But we sat there, and here I'm looking around. My wife's talking to Jan, and I'm kind of gazing at the fridge, plastered up with all kinds of stuff on the front of the fridge. But there was a sign that stood out in the midst of it all, and it said, Israel, they thought that Goliath was too big to kill. But David, he thought that Goliath was too big to miss. And I thought, you know, that's the truth. And here's a lady that had got a hold of this tremendous truth. When it came to her disease and facing death, she has been able to rise above it. In fact, she has been nothing, in my mind, but a blessing to many, many individuals as you go through life. And all of us, maybe some of these great theologians here don't, but the rest of us, we struggle with certain things that we drag along. And maybe it's because I work amongst folks that get saved, and I've never faced it before with people that are addicted to these slot machines. I don't know, pulling a thing or buying a ticket. They're enslaved to it. Gambling. And how do they get victory over this? God saves them. So how are they going to get past and get over this? Other ones, they've got the, well, smoking. To me, anymore, I think that's a minor one. And drinking. And we have a young man, and he has absolutely been consumed by pornography. And I believe he's getting a victory over it, but it's been a battle for 2 years since God saved him. A tremendous struggle. There's others, you know, that have been on the road for 40 years, and they're bitter. Is there anyone here today that has got a bitterness towards a fellow believer? 40, 30, 50 years on the road to heaven and angry at someone and you've never forgiven them and it's been a root of bitterness springing up within you? Is it possible that you can look down at the poor fellow that just got saved and he's got the old weed and he's trying to overcome this and you think, what's wrong with him? Why can't he quit smoking? Come on. How can he ever? And yet he's dragging along something that's... And I tell you this, I thank God. My wife rarely gets upset. She's as calm as anything. But I'd rather live with a wife that smoked three packs a day and blew it in my face and the house was like a fog than to have a woman that's mad all the time. So yet we justify one and we condemn the other. And we've been dragging it along in our lives. And there's husbands. And they've never learned to control temper. And the kids, I went into a house one day. This wasn't a husband, this is a mother. And I've been trying to help her with these things. Went into the home, and, well, I got there. And the kids were in the yard, five kids. Well, a couple, three or four of them were in the yard. And I said, boy, one of you better watch mom. Boy, she's in her mood today. Boy, she's mad. So I went in and said, oh, Trudy, what's wrong? Oh, Jesus, those kids are making me so mad. And everything. And she went on and on and on how angry she was. And she said, I just can't control myself. You know, we sit down and she's picking the coffee and her hand's shaking. She's so angry and she's got a problem. She's had a problem. I think Trudy's getting victory too. But suddenly the phone rang. She grabs out the wall, hello! And all of a sudden, on the end of the phone was whoever, a good friend. And all of a sudden, she was just as nice as pie. And she had just finished telling me she couldn't control herself. And she finally hung up the phone and said, Trudy, that's a lie. You can control yourself.
And you...
these weaknesses that we face. But before we're ever going to get victory, we're going to have to do what David did. David, before he ever went out and got victory with Goliath, he had to put off Saul's armor. And you and I, as well, before we are ever going to get victory over these things that we drag along, like, we're going to have to take and put off Saul's armor. Because we like to, you know, we call, homosexuality, that's a sickness. Drunkenness, well, that's a disease. And if I'm too overweight, I could well take a little vice, then I've got a hormone problem. And, you know, we've always got an excuse. Always hiding behind something. You know, he makes me mad. What do you mean he makes you mad? He can't make you do anything. And she can't either. It's simply because we allow something else to control us, and we're not prepared to take off Saul's armor. And David, he took off Saul's armor before he's ever going to go out and fight that battle with Goliath. Those Israelites, they're afraid, and they're standing back, and they're looking across the valley, and there's Goliath basking in the sun over there, and they're afraid. He's too big to kill. And David, I'm not going to go through the whole story. You know the story. Finally, he leaves the Israelites, and he walks down into that valley. It must have been quite a day. I suppose the sun was shining, and David's going down that into the valley. Every one of us will come to valleys in our life. But there's one wonderful thing about every valley. Well, I used to say, think that. It was true about every valley. But you need to come out and live in Alberta. Southern Alberta is dry as a board. You get all kinds of valleys. It doesn't have a drop of water in the valley. But generally speaking, most valleys have a creek and a river. Any civilized country has valleys in the river. And so, you know, that's the great thing about every valley. And you and I are going to come into valleys in our lives. And David is coming into a valley, and he comes down into the bottom of that valley, and he stops at the bottom of the valley. And what's he doing? He's coming by the creek. I don't think we have to imagine very far that creek would remind us of the Word of God. And that river that he stops by would remind us of the tremendous Word of God. But when it comes to getting victory in our lives, it's not a matter that we need the whole Bible, as it were. Yes, we need the whole Word of God. But there are certain verses in it that give us tremendous strength in the time of trouble. There's a dear sister in Lethbridge, and she's smoked between her and her husband for about 30 years, maybe 40, because she's in her 50s. I don't know how long. 5 packs of cigarettes a day between the two of them. I don't know how much they've spent on cigarettes. He finally stopped. And I was in her house the other day. I tell you, it was something. Go in there, her refrigerator. She's got a sign in the front. I've been suggesting it to her. She has a sign in the front. I said, take and stop like David did at the river and pick up a stone. And then when you meet the Goliath, you've got a weapon to bring him down. So she had got a stone from the Word of God. And she had written it out on a piece of big white chunk of paper and put it on the front of the fridge. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But she was reading in a revised version, maybe it's a Living Translation. I loved it. Whatever it was. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace the man or the woman whose thinking stops at God. And I thought, that's great. And so, you know something? She said, I haven't had a smoke in 5 days. I said, my, Marion? Great. She said, every time I've been getting that old urge. She said, you don't know what it's like. She even wakes up in the night, has to have a smoke 2 or 3 times through the night. It's desperate. And I don't even, God's made a marvelous body that can withstand that. It's unbelievable. But she said, every time I've been thinking about a cigarette, and it comes all the time. She said, I think about that stone, and I think about that creek, and I think about that verse on the wall. And she says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind, his thinking stops at God. And she said, right away, I just think God. And she said, a few minutes later, I'm getting another desire for a smoke, and I think God. You know something? That's a stone that is bringing down the enemy. And David comes down to that valley, and he carefully chooses 5 smooth stones. It's not just any stone that's going to work. He needs the right one. And he comes there and he picks up the right stone, nice smooth stone that's going to fit in his sling, and he's going to use it. And he puts him in his little bag and he climbs up the other side. I think from the passage it was seen that Goliath is kind of lying in the sun, because it says Goliath rose up to meet him. And he says, he talks about being a dog. You think I'm a dog? And David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And David begins to do something I wouldn't do. He ran toward the giant. I'd be running too, but it'd be just as fast as I could go the other direction. But David ran towards the giant. And he took that stone and he put that stone into the sling. And I guess there's all kinds of ideas, whether he had four other brothers so he had saved the stones for them, I don't know. But regardless, he ran towards the giant and he let that stone fly. And I suppose the giant was so confident in this young lad that he didn't even put his helmet on his head or whatever it was. He's been relaxing. He stands up and all of a sudden he got something in his mind he never had before. I'll tell you, that giant, he went reeling around and he comes crashing to the ground. And I love the thought. He fell on his face on the ground. And when we look at different groups that are slain in the spirit, we are privileged to live in Lethbridge, the only city in Canada that has a so-called Christian radio television program. It's nothing but rubbish, almost from the start to the finish. And you watch those people on that program when they've been in different houses and they're getting slain in the spirit and they're falling, but they all fallen over backwards. I find that amazing. Because the enemies of God, they fell on their faces before God, and the people of God fell on their faces before God. And there's that giant lying on his face on the ground. And David runs up to that giant, and he doesn't even have a weapon in his hand. He doesn't have a sword in his hand, and he stands on his back, and he pulls out that sword, and he chops off Goliath's head, and I don't know. I think he picked it up by the hair and he carried it back down through the valley, and he can read all what he did, and he finally comes up and he brings it to Jerusalem, or he takes it up there. And they talk about the place of a skull. I wonder, somebody suggested to me one time, do you suppose it was named that as a result of David bringing that skull of Goliath to that place? And as he'd be carrying along, the blood be running down into his boot. And he's going back, he's victorious. He's got victory. And you and I, we desperately need to get victory in our lives over things that drag us down. And we've all got our struggles, anger, self-will, bitterness, smoking, you name it. I don't know what it is. We all are faced with these issues that we are dealing with. And you and I, in our life, can get victory in our life over these things that hinder our progress in the things of God. We can get personal victory. I went to visit a family about 5 years ago. I never forgot the visit. It was just before we moved to Alberta. Knew them fairly well. A dear family, 5 sons. And they're Baptist Christians, gathered in the Baptist church there just by Burgessville. A lovely family. I tell you, the envy of anybody to have a father with sons like that. The four of them are farming close by where the father is. He's helped them get started farming. And the youngest son is at home at maybe 20 or 21 or 22 years of age. He was single and he was still at home. One day, him and his father were going to move a butler bin on the back of a wagon. So they put her on the wagon and the father got on the tractor to drive and the son is walking behind, and somehow the wagon is going through some rough spots as they are moving it. And not that because of habit, you reach out your hand to balance it that he could hold a hopper bin, a butler bin anyways. But as he reached out to touch it, they went under a power line and that son was struck dead instantly from an electrical shock. I think it was the day after, went up to see the family. It was before the funeral. Sat down at home with the father. It was a sad visit. They were overcome with grief. But I sat to talk to them, and we had a great visit. But I went away so tremendously encouraged. He said, Steve, you know, last night the family, they all came. He said, my sons and their wives and the grandchildren, he said, they were all gathered around the big table in the kitchen. And he says, I didn't know what to do. He said, well, there's only one source. There's only one hope. There's only one way to get victory, to get a sense of peace. He said, I took my Bible. He said, I began to read it. He said, I didn't even know where to read, but he said, I just thought, well, I'll read in John. And he said, we read through the book of John and started reading a few verses in John. He said, we came to chapter 11, verse 25. He said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he said, I can't describe to you the peace that overwhelmed me when I thought, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he said, we went on to chapter 14, to verse number 6, because it's there that his son had received Christ as a Savior some few years as a teenager, a few years before. And he said, there I thought, isn't that tremendous? So I visited him a few times down the road, and one day I stopped in to see him, maybe about a month later. So I just had a visit a couple days ago from an old friend. And this old friend had driven quite a long way. He said he couldn't come to the funeral of my son, but he said he drove quite a long way. He said he's quite an elderly man. He said he came in the house and he put his arms around me. He said, well, his name's Ralph. He said, Ralph, I'm so sorry to hear your son's dead. He said, I put him back and I looked in Ralph's face. I said, my boy, what do you mean my son's dead? Well, he said, you know, your son died. He thought maybe, he said, I thought I was getting touched. And he said, I got four sons. The one lives up there and there and there, and they're with their wives and their children. And he said, I got four sons here, but he said, I got another son, and he's just as much alive, and he's serving the Lord in heaven. And he said, I had just had such tremendous comfort and such tremendous peace. What was it? He took a stone from the Word of God, and he brought down the enemy. And whatever your problem is, whatever my problem is, I can get victory in this life over the habits and those things that so plague us as Christians as we're going through life. We don't have to be plagued by a bad temper. We don't have to be plagued by anger and bitterness and whatever else it is that affects us. We can get victory. We read there in Colossians 3 and verse number 2, set your thinking on things above and not on the things of this world. Our thinking. I read some years ago that every one of us, every single day, as we go throughout the day, we think enough thoughts. If they were all written down, the fellow says, it would fill 10 books in one day. If all our thoughts were all written down, 10 books a day. He said 10,000 thoughts a day we have go through our minds. And he said if it was all written down. Incredible. We've got so much thought, and we can simply take and change our thinking. You don't have to think miserable. You get up in the morning. You say to the kids, come out to breakfast. Now, okay. That looks like somebody's had a problem today. Maybe we should go back to the bathroom and stand in there and look in the mirror and smile. And sometimes I come out and they say, Dad, I think you better go back to the bathroom and take a look in the mirror and smile. And you know, it's a lot of truth. Our thinking. What is our thinking occupied with? We can start to think negative thoughts, but we can change our thinking. If there's one blessing, there's many blessings that have come out of the day that our son died. I can tell you this. My wife and I learned that we do not have to think negative thoughts. We can think positive things. And when sad things come into your mind, put them out of your mind and begin to think on something else. But you have to be prepared. You have to have something from the Word of God that you've written down or you've laid up in your heart. And you've got to be prepared, because when the thought comes, that's not the time you pick up the Bible and you don't have one handy, but carry one in your pocket. And you begin to take and think. And use the weapons that God has given us to bring victory into our life. A verse. And I have tried to encourage the Christians in Lethbridge. Every single day in the morning, read. And I'm not telling you how much to read. But surely take and read a few verses. And take a piece of paper. And write them down, a verse down on a piece of paper. And stick it in your pocket. And when you're at work, pull it out and take a look. And read it and think about it. Get your thinking occupied with the things of God. Your thinking. And then we read in Psalm 105, talked of all his wondrous works. You know, we so much of the time waste so much time talking about, like Brother Albert said, the new car. for talking about this or talking about the business and talking about the job and talking about all the stuff that we waste our time talking about all these things. What about talking about the things of God? Every Saturday night, we meet down at Tim Hortons, 7:30. 13th Street North, Lethbridge, right at the corner of 5th Avenue. If you're going through town any Saturday night, stop there. There's about a dozen Christians meet there at a table. Our brother Wesley Ferguson, who just finished writing the Genesis, what the Bible teaches on Genesis. You want a good book to buy it. It's kind of interesting. But he gave them to us, so we've been okay because he has a daughter living in Lethbridge, so he's there a couple times a year to visit her. And so he gave us all one, so we didn't have to buy one. But the other day, a few months ago, he was visiting. He sat in that coffee shop. I think there was 12 or 13 or 14 all spread out through there. And I'll tell you something. For an hour and a half, he spoke to those young fellas, all men, about Genesis. And he gave them all a book and autographed it all. And he talked to them about Genesis and about the tremendous truths there in the book of Genesis. In fact, now they call us that we have a parish in the Tim Hortons. And we say that we should get free coffee then, and they tell me I'm the pastor, and so I should have a free parking space as well, reserved for me like a funeral home. But I don't have that. But talking about all his wondrous works, and might you and I as Christians meet one another with a purpose of sitting down together to talk of the wondrous works of God, and come prepared in your thoughts. And when I meet you throughout the week, and we should make plans to meet one another, but come prepared with a thought in our heart and in our mind to put before one another, and we will get victory. Talk of all his wondrous works. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, I see it as seeing victory. The young brother out in Lethbridge, well, he's not amongst us. He goes to the Ephraim Church, but he stops by quite often to our meetings. And he just started a couple of years ago, started a delivery service. And he drives up in his old van. And he's got another old van, and he's got a fellow working for him. And when you say to him, how's business? How are you doing? And, you know, he doesn't say that, I'm trying to. No. This fellow, he sees. You know what he can see? He can see a fleet of trucks, all with his name on the side of it. So-and-so's delivery service scattered all the way from Red Deer all the way down to the Montana border. He can just envision it. And when it comes to people that are trying to get victory, it's a matter of seeing victory. And seeing that it's a positive thing. We can get victory over the things that plague us as we go through life. You know what yours are, and I know what mine are, and you and I are able to get victory. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, as we go through life, we can get victory. And I trust that if you remember nothing else, that I would try and say to you, that you would go home with a determination in your heart and in your mind that I do not have to continue down this road plagued by impatience and all these different things that so affect me as I go through life.